The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome everyone to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Welcome to another edition of Hot Take Tuesday. We asked for your hot takes on Twitter. You once again delivered. You never fail us. We've got some interesting topics, particularly off-season related, to get to on this one, so should be a fun show. I'm your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. Joining me on Hot Take Tuesday from Boca Raton, Florida, is Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how are you?
If the Texans hold on, I'll be doing a little bit better, but not great.
Yeah, Jeremy is in gambling hell right now. So
I am. Yes.
Yeah, just long a little bit
streak. Yep.
Little bit tense. Yeah, but it's all right. You'll get there. Also with us on the show from Boston, Massachusetts, is Steve McGreevy. Steve, how you doing?
Well, as far as the gambling front goes, I'm not doing so great either. I throw a straight up 100 down spring training. Sox are going to take it all the way, and I'm watching that fall apart right now. So I'm watching my $100 just wither away.
See, I thought I was bad because I bet on the Red Sox like throughout the season, like, you know, put a couple parlays on a couple of games here and there, and they never deliver. But you put Red Sox World Series preseason, really?
Yeah. Right at the beginning, before any of the numbers or the bookies really get numbers on it, I'm just going to go ahead and toss it out there before the winter meetings hit. Like, I just want to put it out there so I can be the one that has the faith. And it being that kind of person that has the faith, I'm not having much faith right now.
Well, if it makes you feel better, because I always look for a World Series preseason, you know, thing to put down. I always look for good odds. I put it on the Giants. So that went well.
It's not a bad bet.
Well, you know, Snell, Chapman, I thought, okay, they made some moves. Yeah, no, not so much. So I'm with you in that boat. But obviously, yeah, season didn't go the way that any of us predicted. And now we're into sort of the final, you know, 2 weeks here, and things aren't looking good. And you know, some of us are more real about it than others. That's why we're here. We're going to be real about it. And we asked for some of your hot takes on just the season and things overall. You did not disappoint. So let's just get right into it. Jeremy, I'm going to put you in leadoff spot. What is your hot take for this week?
So as always, thank you for the input. This is from Sell the Team, which is something I agree with.
Fitting.
John Henry, you POS, sell the team. It's at Zapphire 92. So Zapphire 92 says, the Red Sox need to trade Cassis, Abreu, and Mayer and get an actual good rotation and a big bat. Now, this hot take is also brought to you by Good Takes because it's accurate, and I wholeheartedly agree. I have been on record since before the trade deadline, as has Terry, who's not with us tonight, that Cassis has to go. I'm not going to get into a whole full-on Cassis thing. I'm just going to hit a couple quick points. Can't stay healthy. His personality is absolutely obnoxious, and there is no other bigger look-at-me guy other than like Tom Brady that immediately comes to my brain. Abreu, I like the player tremendously. However, at some point it becomes a numbers game and you're not moving on from Duran. Roman Anthony's on his way and Rafaela is going to be back in center field next year. So you just have too many players and Abreu's not a fourth outfielder. So if that's the case, then, and you're likely to also sign a right-handed fourth outfielder or re-sign Refsnyder. So Abreu's out. And I think it's a foregone conclusion he's going to be traded. So I agree with that. And then Mayer, he can't stay healthy. You can't track his development when he's only playing a portion of the season in the minor leagues. And again, he's a middle infielder. You have Story. You have depth there and options with Rafaela coming back in to be an elite defensive shortstop. And I'm spacing it on the other member of Worcester, Campbell, is probably going to be your second baseman. So I don't see where Mayer fits in. And I know that he was once like the number one guy and foregone conclusion he was going to contribute in Boston. I don't believe that anymore. And I would move him as part of a package to get an actual good rotation and a big bat. If you could do Casas straight up for Vlad and pay Vlad, I'd do it. And then I'd put Abreu, Mayer, and what other assets that are necessary to go get an ace. I'd do it in a heartbeat. I really would. So I agree with the tweet. Obviously, it's a tweet. You only get a certain number of characters. So I'm more going in a little deeper as to why I think this is a really good, accurate take and hopefully one that Breslow executes, which is a whole different story because I don't think anybody on the podcast trusts Breslow to go execute this trade. So this brings up a lot of points. This particular tweet is about these three players and the two needs, and I'll stay to that. And with regards to that, it's a really good tweet. And I think at least in parts of this, the podcast has been on these topics probably for 2 or 3 months now.
Yeah, absolutely. We you know, Terry was the first to mention it. There's going to be a painful trade. This is kind of what that tweet represents. This might be a painful trade, but
hey, you know. Jason, you missed the memo. Terry's not here. We don't compliment Terry.
That's true. Sorry. Yeah, no, he's not here. So screw that. Yeah. Somebody on this show, I won't name any names, brought up that there might be a painful trade. And again, that's what this tweet represents. So I like it. I like it a lot. Steve, what do you think?
I think that this dude that I was talking to, like at the bar the other night, told me that there would be a painful trade, but like, I don't know. He was just this random guy babbling, like throwing up signs and stuff at the bar. Like he might've been named Terry. I don't know. As far as feelings take, like I'm on board with you. Like except the Casas bit. Like I think Casas is actually going to be like a face here in Boston. I think he's going to be like something that brings character to the field, the bullpen, not the bullpen, shit. I'm really don't. Sorry, Charlie. I think Costa's going to be a character in the clubhouse, and I think that that's undeniable. And the more that he's there, the more that he's going to gain credibility. And I think Abreu is basically a Raffy 2.0. Like he wants to swing the ball or he wants to swing the bat like Raffy does, and he tries to. And he's not connecting. So he's making the same mistakes that Raffy made 2-3 years ago. So he's trying to like climb for that. As it comes to Mayer, he's injury prone. If he actually makes it up here, cool. If not, yeah, we probably should deal him off. So if we're going to be dealing people off, I would say Abreu and Mayer are going to be the ones because I'm a Casas fan. I love him and all his weirdness. So yeah, I got to keep him around.
So, go ahead, Jeremy.
Yep. Steve. What is your basis for thinking Casas is going to be that guy?
Mainly because of, like, his early years of how, like, seeing his plate discipline. And that was maturity. That was maturity at a young age for a ball player where he should be. Now he's going through a thing where he thinks he might be a little bit more than what he should be. But if he reverts back to that and brings back that plate discipline, brings back that, like, I know how to do that. Like, look at his strikeout numbers recently. They're horrific because he's testing the boundaries of the strike zone. He's trying to find his spot again. If he finds his spot again, This kid is going to be so dangerous, so ridiculously dangerous, especially considering on a defensive standpoint, all he has to do is stand at first base, and he's tall as hell, so he can just grab balls out of the air. He can work out this hitting. He just needs time to do it, and I got faith in him, and I really, really think he's going to be a big, big face for the Red Sox in the years to come.
Yeah, I disagree. I think we're becoming – the people that are on the Casas bandwagon are enamored with his ability to hit the ball 450 feet occasionally. I'd much rather see a consistent approach at the plate with hard contact, hitting with runners in scoring position, and this is really important, being available to play. Because this particular player is not available to play all that often.
So, yeah, no mental bats in your head don't count. So,
yeah, dry swings don't count. I said I wasn't going to go into it, but then you brought up the term maturity. Earlier in the year, didn't he have to explain to the umpires that hadn't umpired his games that he calls out the balls and strikes in real time? And something he still does, like, that's not maturity. That means you can't shut your mouth and just go through your at bat with a plan to put the ball in play with a high exit velocity. And then you have the antics with, and look, I don't work out with your shirt off. I do it all the time. Don't care. I don't care what your stretching routine is. I care when you bring in nonsensical things to get people to look at you and to tweet about you. It's obnoxious. You're not focused about baseball. You're not focused about saving runs at first base and being a run producing middle of the lineup bat. You're just the D-bag. It's obnoxious. And I can't, and it's one thing, like if this was coming from Rafael Devers, I get it, right? You're a silver slugger. You're a potential MVP candidate every year. You have a track record. Go be you, bud. But when you have done absolutely nothing in this league, shut your mouth and be a productive baseball player. Once that happens, do whatever you want. I don't care. But it's obnoxious when you're not available, and when you are, you're not a good player. And he is not a good player right now. So if the rest of the league believes that he is, go balance your roster. Please.
Yep. No, and that's the thing. Like, the people who defend Tristan Casas, the kids' table, say, well, you guys put up with Manny for all those years, and you never complained about him. Manny Ramirez.
I was just
going
to say Manny was, like, the last, temperamental, toddler that we had.
Yeah, but you know what he also was? One of the greatest right-handed hitters in Major League Baseball history. He fair kind play. Of earned being weird. Like, yeah, as weird as that as it sounds to say, like, he kind of earned it. So, like, Tristan Casas has not earned it. He had, what, one good half season? People forget that he sucked in April and May last year. And then, but they're like, oh, he was legendary. He was fine in the second half. He was good. But, like, that's all he's got. Then he got hurt again. And I know the rib injury was a freak thing. It was on a swing. Okay, fine.
And it's a cartilage thing too. Like, okay, so, I mean,
he took his sweet time coming back, didn't he? You know, took that rehab assignment was an eternity. Like, oh well, I need to feel right before I come back, because
he should have never came back, honestly.
Well, that's probably true, but the team was still in it. They were still in a playoff race, and I'm sorry, if you want to be the cornerstone first baseman of the franchise, then you've got to come back and help your team. Rafael Devers has been playing with two busted shoulders for how long? He didn't, you know, he wasn't sitting in the locker room going, well, I haven't blossomed into a butterfly yet, so I just don't feel like I can help the team right now. It's just, it's that kind of crap that I'm already done with this guy. Like, so I'm with Jeremy. I want the Red Sox to trade Casas in a package for Vladdy. I've wanted it for a while. I just think...
I think you guys are absolutely, like, off your rocker if you think that we're going to get Vladdy.
We probably won't, because, again, Breslow's too scared to make the move. But if he called up Toronto and said, hey, I'll give you Casas and, I don't know, one of your 18 million shortstops in your farm system, Nazan Zanatello, or whatever other bum, Franklin Arias, whatever other bum shortstop that Bloom drafted, you put up together a package like that, Toronto would consider it, because they do not want to pay Vladdy. They don't.
They will pay Vladdy, though, like in this instance, because there's nowhere that they can bum him to. And they've also got another franchise player, Bichette, that's saying that you know, they're like kind of palling up with Vladdy in this sense of like, I don't want to play on another team with you. That was a quote from this week of them, you know, like Bichette saying he only wants to win a championship there with Vladdy. Like, yeah, speaks, because those two guys are going to be the face of the franchise there. So if we want to peel them away, you really think Casas and, like, a couple prospects are going to peel away Vladdy? Like, I've heard you guys talk about this, like, for the past couple weeks or whatever. Like, oh, we should trade for Vladdy and do this or that way. You really think we have anything that's going to get Vladdy on our side, like, over to us? We don't have that kind of buying power.
If it prevents Toronto from having to pay him $250 million, yes, they'll do it.
That's the only saving grace. And I think they might pay him out of spite.
No.
No. Big league clubs don't do things out of spite these days. There's too much analytics, Steve. And this isn't the what are the Red Sox going to do segment, because I'll tell you what the Red Sox are going to do. They're going to make cost-effective decisions that supplement the big league roster, and it's going to blow. You're going to get O'Neill out and, you know, what was it, Duvall last year, O'Neill this year, whoever else had a bad year, that's the next guy in. They're going to sign the next middle of the rotation kind of guy, 3-4 guy, tout him that he could be the one because they're saving a bunch of money. That's what they're going to do. What they should do is they should become aggressive. And also, so the other thing I was going to say in the middle of your take was I have no problem putting Mayer, lower level prospects, and Casas in to go get Vladdy, because the Blue Jays are about to lose him for nothing. So they, if they go into, this is his last year of arbitration, he's going to get like $25, $30 million from the arbitration panel. Then you risk losing him for nothing. Why not go get a haul and go? And if you, and I know it's interdivision, but if you go get Casas and Mayer, you have a high level prospect that'll probably be in the big leagues next year in your middle infielder, and you're going to have an everyday first baseman. So the Blue Jays are getting multiple, you know, needs addressed, and we're getting the player we want. Now, that's not what's going to happen, because John Henry's a cheap prick and Breslow's soft as puppy poo, but that's what the panel mostly thinks we should do. That's not what they're going to do. That's not the segment. If we want to do that at the end of the year, we can do that. It's going to be like a funeral level excitement, you know, because it's a whole different conversation. So this is more of what we'd like to see the team go get to put us in the best position to knock in runs and prevent runs in 2025.
Yeah, so I think, and especially when you said, like, if you got Casas and Mayer in that package, I don't think they want to pay Bichette either. And Bichette's value has gone down. He did not have a good year in 2024. His power numbers were way down. He didn't stay healthy. So his value really kind of tanked, where Guerrero's went up. Guerrero basically carried that team for as much as he could. But if you tell Toronto, hey, we'll give you Casas, who's controllable, you don't have to pay him right away, and Mayer, who's super controllable, and he can just take Bichette's spot, then who cares what those guys say? Oh, we want to win championships together. Go let them do it somewhere else. And I don't want Bichette in Boston. Like, no, thank you. I only want Guerrero. So whatever. Like, it saves, because Toronto is going to reach a point here where their farm system, they have nothing. Like, I'm telling you, they have one of the worst farm systems in baseball right now, because for the last 5 years, they've been trying to contend. They've traded away all their best prospects. P. Crow Armstrong, like, you know, who's the other guy? Austin, I forget his name, Austin something. But they trade him away to Minnesota in the Berrios deal. Berrios has been fine since he got to Toronto, but he hasn't elevated them. They paid Kevin Gausman all that money. He was good the first couple of years. Now he's on the decline. So Toronto has nothing in their farm system. You give them a 24-year-old left-handed hitting first baseman, and you give them Marcelo Mayer and maybe something else, they will part with Vlad Guerrero. They will. Now, the problem is that's the package the Red Sox can offer. We don't know what other teams might offer. Like, you know, there's other teams with better farm systems than the Red Sox. I know Sox fans don't want to hear that because they think that they have the best farm system in the universe.
Well, I mean, we're still in the top five, right?
According to some publications, sure. But you're not number
one. We got the number one prospect in baseball right now.
Technically, yeah. Because another guy got promoted. But
well, still.
Yeah, technically, yeah. But you're not the number one farm system in baseball. So what if that team, where I don't know who it is, but what if they decide, yeah, we want to trade for Vladdy, and we'll give you three of our top 10. You might get beat out. So that's just something to consider if they are going to do it. I do think they need a shakeup. Like, and if it's trading Costas, I'm all for it because his personality does not work in Boston. It doesn't. His personality works in a small market.
I love him so much. It kills me when I hear you guys say that.
Steve, it doesn't work here. If he starts to hit like 230 for, you know, a majority of the season, and I think defensively he kind of sucks too. Like, you know, if he just doesn't play well, the whole sunbathing in the Spider-Man mask and the, you know, I'm going to bloom into a butterfly comments, it's going to get old real fast. It got old with Carl Everett. Eventually it got old with Manny. And Manny was a generational talent. And we couldn't wait to get rid of him. Like, it doesn't work in this market. We were talking about it off, you know, off show, like in our group chat. And Terry, you know, who's not here with us, but he was like, his personality works for Canada. It kind of does. Like, that's the kind of market Costas needs to be in. Not Boston, not New York, not Philly. He needs to be in, like, Toronto or Pittsburgh or Milwaukee. Like,
him and Zach Greinke needs to go, like, start up an independent team or something. Like, those two weirdos could, like, have a ball together.
It doesn't work here. So, for Costas, I'm all set. Like, I'm with them. Like, put him in a package. I want Vladdy for him, but I'll take a frontline starting pitcher, too. Like, whatever. In terms of Abreu, I like Willy Abreu. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to hit lefties. And part of it is the team's fault because they bench him against lefties all the time. His defense in right field is great. He's got a superb arm. But I don't know full-time if he's going to be your answer in the outfield, especially with Roman Anthony on the way. Because everyone wants to trade Jarren Duran because of his age. He's in his prime. You don't trade a player when he's in his prime. You ride it out as long as you can, especially for a guy like Duran who you don't have to pay right away. So I'm happy keeping Duran. I'm happy putting Rafaela back in center field. And if Roman Anthony is this good and he's ready to come up, then yeah, I'm willing to put Abreu in a package for a starting pitcher. Absolutely. If he's a platoon guy and he can't hit lefties, then you got to make that move. Again, you got him from Houston for Christian Vasquez for half a season, a Christian Vasquez. You got Emmanuel Valdez in that deal too. We know Emmanuel Valdez sucks, right? At this point, we know he sucks. He can't play defensively. He can run into a homer every now and then. He can't hit lefties. So they gave you him and Abreu for half a season of Christian Vasquez. Why do you think that is? I look at the organization. Houston is not a dumb organization. They gave you Abreu for a reason. Maybe they know he can't hit lefties and he never will. So you do have to consider that. I like the guy. I like seeing him play, but if you can't hit lefties and you can get one of those Seattle pitchers for him, you do it. You know, if Seattle's willing to part with a Logan Gilbert and they want Abreu and a couple more prospects, you do it. You need starting pitching. So in terms of Costas, Abreu, like, you know, making that kind of deal, I'm with Jeremy too on Marcelo Mayer. To me, he is your of the big four, which I almost want to throw up in my mouth whenever I say that, but he's now number four because he can't stay healthy. He's a lefty anyway. You have too many lefties to begin with. He can't stay healthy. He's 21. He has back problems. That's not good. That never ends up well. So I just, to me, Mayer is the one you trade of all those guys. And I'm good riding with Anthony Teal and Campbell at this point. So I would love to see them do it. I think they're too cowardly to do it, but I think that's the kind of shakeup this team needs in the offseason. I don't foresee it happening, unfortunately. So that was our first hot take. That was a pretty good one. And again, you know, offseason has a lot of, you know, twists and turns to it. So we'll see what happens. This is another one that relates to the offseason. So this comes from, and I apologize if I don't pronounce your name right, Adam DiPalto, at DiPalto A97435. And he tweets, the Boston Red Sox are exactly three players away from the ALCS. These are the three players he lists: Max Fried, Pete Alonso, and closing pitcher Tanner Scott, all of whom are free agents this coming winter. So I'll start you guys off. Jeremy, what do you think of that hot take?
I want nothing to do with Max Fried, who's on the wrong side of 30. The Braves front office is one of the best front offices in baseball, and he hasn't been extended, is my understanding. Jason, confirming that?
Correct.
So if they don't want him, and obviously we don't have any insight on the negotiations or if there are any, I'm not a fan of spending that kind of money on a guy on the wrong side of 30. Pete Alonso to me is kind of confusing. He's a big power number guy, but to me, he's unathletic. And this is a team under the new rules, the way Cora wants to play, where you need to be an athlete. And to me, he's kind of like a little bit of a better O'Neal. And if he hits 50 bombs, like if he's hitting 50 bombs every year, okay. But I don't think that's a guarantee. And I also think he might be on the wrong side of 30, although I have not looked that up yet. So I don't know. To me, I don't want to spend that kind of money. And Tanner Scott's the same situation. He's 30 years old. You know, if they were on this already on the team, it's a different situation. But every player is going to be a year older. And we're not even talking about the level of cash it's going to take to get these players, because we already know John Henry doesn't want to spend money. And if he does, it wants to be, you know, a smart decision. It wants to be a cost-effective decision. So I don't think it's, one, realistic that these players would automatically make us better, because it doesn't fix a lot of other problems. And two, if you're thinking about it in the future, it doesn't make any sense to me, because again, these players are all on the wrong side of the 30-year mark.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it basically boils down to, like, this is a wish list, and this is a wish list of like who you wanted in your prime. And this is, I think, what the bastards have been like screaming at for the past, like, I don't know, weeks, months, or whatever, is, you know, hey, we need an ace. We need someone that can come in at Max Fried in his prime. We need a Pete Alonso to come in as a right-handed bat and be dependable. And we need a Tanner Scott to close things out. Yes, if we had those three things the past 3 months or whatever, if we would have traded for that or made that like something attainable, then we'd be relevant right now, and we wouldn't be sitting here lamenting on what ifs. So that's kind of where I am on it. It was an obvious. Yeah, it's a good take. It's a good take in the sense, yes, we need an ace, we need a right-handed bat, and we need somebody that can close out the pen. So yeah, congratulations stating the obvious. Good take.
Yeah, this I kind of agree with Steve on that one. Like those three players in their prime, sure, great wish list. Pete Alonso, when he was back hitting 46 to 50 bombs a year and, you know, had a higher OPS and everything, sure. Max Fried, when he was, you know, on his way to a Cy Young when he was healthy, Absolutely. Tanner Scott. Yeah, sure. He's been a good reliever for a long time. He probably will be good again next year. First of all, with Tanner Scott, they're not going to pay what he's going to get in free agency. He's going to get one of those like Josh Hader type of contracts. He's going to get like a 3 to 4 year deal to be a closer somewhere. They're not going to pay that.
So Philly's going to pick him up then.
Something like that. Team like the Phillies, or, you know, again, just maybe the Yankees. The Yankees need a closer. Like, they might go get him. The Red Sox are
of the three. Of the three options, though, they've spent on, like, Jansen's making like $18 million a year. So if one of these three is actually possible, I think it's Scott.
Yeah, that's probably true, especially because they can probably get him. You know, it may not be a four-year deal. You might be able to get him for two and an option or something like that. May not be. Wait, bad.
Do you really want to pick up a closer on a four-year deal then?
No, if it's 4 years, I don't want that, and I don't think they'll do it. But if he's willing to come here for three with an option or something, they might do it. Again, they have no pitching.
I'd rather take Jansen for another year on that.
They have no one. Is Justin Slayton going to become your closer? No, you can't rely on that. We talked about Liam Hendricks in another show. Like, you can't rely on him either. It's just they're going to have to do something.
That's who they're going to rely on, though. And I think that's going to be the narrative that we're fed is Liam Hendricks is going to be the guy out of the bullpen for us next year.
I don't disagree, and that'll be super disappointing, and we'll do a whole show about it when that happens. But if Tanner Scott, you can get him for a three-year deal with an option or something, you got to do it. So that's probably the most realistic, right? Max Fried, he scares me. He absolutely scares me. Like, again, with the whole Chris Sale trade, I was happy when it happened. We needed to move on. Vaughn Grissom had some promise offensively, but look what's happened. I mean, yeah, okay, he's doing a little bit better down in AAA, but there's a reason why the Braves give up on certain players. They're not a dumb organization. The fact that they haven't extended Max Fried, the fact that, like, they're probably going to let him walk, he's going to be 30 years old. That tells me they see signs of him breaking down, or they just think, you know what, we'd rather go with our minor league guys than pay this guy whatever he's going to get.
Well, I mean, them taking on Sale and then wanting to abandon, you know, homeboy at the end of this year, that should speak volumes right there. They're willing to pick up a reclamation project out of us and then let Max Fried walk.
Exactly. Yeah. So they traded for 34-year-old Chris Sale, who had multiple injuries, and they're not going to pay Max Fried. That scares the crap out of me. So no thanks on him. I when he's good, he's elite, but he scares me too much. And Pete Alonso just doesn't make sense. Like, especially if you don't trade Casas, which I don't think they will, because again, I think they're too cowardly to do it. He doesn't make sense. Where are you going to put him? The DH spot is taken up by Yoshida. First base is taken up by Casas. He can't play anywhere else. And honestly, Alonso, like, his OPS went way down this year. The power numbers are a little bit down. I think that you're starting to see a little bit of a decline with him. So he's going to get paid somewhere because someone's just going to fall in love with the name, you know, and the right-handed power.
He sells advertising. He rocked the hell out of the home run competition the past 2 years. And, like, I mean, he's a name bringer. He's somebody that, like, if they're on your roster, if they're on your, like, billboard in front of the stadium or whatever, your nonchalant, your townie fans or whatever are going to roll in because they want to see this guy. That's this guy's appeal. That's what he's going to bring to the table in free agency.
And the Red Sox don't need that. Like, honestly, they don't.
No, absolutely not. Like, we bring our own to the table.
Again, he strikes me as like Milwaukee bound, you know, like one of those mid-market teams, Cleveland, you know, well, they got a first baseman, but something like that. It just, you know, not Boston. It doesn't make sense, especially if you're going to hang on to Casas. So I think of those three, Fried scares me. Alonso doesn't make sense. Tanner Scott, maybe. But again, if he goes to free agency and some stupid team is like, we'll give you 4 years, you know, $50 million or whatever, forget it. Red Sox aren't going to match that. So I like this guy's thinking, though. I like that he's sort of saying we're only a couple players away. I somewhat agree, somewhat don't. I think they're close. They do need to make some additions in the offseason. I don't know if it's necessarily those three, though. I think they need to be a little more creative, maybe more so in the trade market than the free agent market. I think the free agent market, it's like, it's Corbin Burns and Juan Soto, and then there's a massive drop off from there. And if you're not in on those two top players, I would rather just use your prospects, use your farm system, explore the trade market, get better that way. And then they can probably contend next year, but they've got to be willing to do it. And I think all of us agree, we're not sure they're willing to do it. So it's a nice way of thinking, but I don't know. I just don't know how realistic it is. So, but obviously, you know, off season is unfortunately pretty close by for the Red Sox. It's going to start in October, unlike for some other teams who are actually going to be playing in the playoffs. I don't think the Red Sox will be. So we'll have plenty of time to dissect all of that, and we'll be with you every step of the way during the off season. Anytime, if they do sign one of these guys, if they do make a big trade, we'll be with you. We'll be there for it. So we'll see what happens. But with that, we will wrap up this episode of Hot Takes. Everyone, enjoy the week. Enjoy the Rays series. Hopefully it kind of goes our way, but we'll see. Midweek Crew will be back with you guys Friday morning to recap that series. So have a good week. We'll talk to you later. Take care.